the reading that we have. So, page 126 in the Church Bibles, Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 is what we need. Now, there are going to be questions asked on this passage, and the reward is going to be, because I thought you got quite enough chocolate today, so the reward is going to be slightly more healthy. But nonetheless, I'm happy to throw them around. So the big question I'm going to ask is, what do we learn about Jesus? Always a good question to ask a Bible reading when we're reading it. What do we learn about Jesus as we read this passage? And what you need to understand about this passage is that Peter, who was one of Jesus' right-hand people, he had 12, of course, that he called and particularly to be with him, but then he had three that he spent even more time with individually, and one of those three was Peter. And Peter, like all the other apostles, was Jewish, and Jews really had nothing whatever to do with people who weren't Jewish. They were unclean and dirty and wrong before God, and I wasn't going to have anything to do with them at all. That was what Jewish people believed. And in particular, you wouldn't go into their homes and you wouldn't eat with them because you might get polluted by the fact that they were spiritually unclean. You didn't want to catch that uncleanness from them. And God has done amazing work in the chapters just before we get to Acts chapter 10. He's done an amazing work because he's given Peter a vision. And it's a vision to say that the things that Peter thought were unclean, God can make clean. And that is something that is really taking a lot of getting into Peter's thinking. And then he gets summoned to go and visit a Gentile, a Roman centurion, a guy who is seeking after God, but he's not Jewish. And he's got his job is to be in charge of 100 men in the Roman army, so he's quite an important guy. And he's told by God in answer to a prayer to send for Peter, and Peter comes. And that's what's happened. And Peter has just been, Cornelius, the Gentile, has said to him, now tell us what you've got to tell us. And this is the point that Peter comes to in the story. So Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by the Lord Jesus, by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. So my question was, what does this passage tell us about the Lord Jesus in particular? Now I'm going to bring the microphone round, and I'm going to bring the easy peelers around. So what does the passage tell us about Jesus? You'll need to get your Bible open. You need your Bible open. Page 126, I think, Acts chapter 10. Should be a Bible for you. There are lots of Bibles around. Grab a Bible, Rhea. Well, yes, but you need one each. You need one too, Kaya. Everybody needs a Bible so that they can have a look and see. Rachel, you've got something that it tells us about Jesus.
Verse 36, it says that he's the Lord of all.
Okay, verse 36, it says that he's the Lord of all. Absolutely right, okay. What else do we learn about Jesus? Henrietta, you've got something to say.
It told us that he was doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil.
Okay, very good. It tells us that he was doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So I've got some headings just to remind us of these things. And the first one is, Jesus did good. Not actually terrifically good English, but that is the key thing that, of course, we understand about the Lord Jesus. We know that. Now, it's not in the passage directly, but tell me, anybody can think of any of the miracles of healing, or can you think of a miracle of healing that Jesus did? Tell us one of the miracles of healing that Jesus did.
He died on the cross.
Absolutely. We remember that at Easter time. What about before he died on the cross? Anybody remember any of the miracles of healing? Can you think of any miracle of healing? Shame on you if you can't think of lots of miracles of healing. Elizabeth, what have you got?
He put the hair of the person that was cut off by himself back before.
Okay. Yes, he restored the ear of one of the people who'd come with the chief priests to betray you, to capture Jesus on Maundy Thursday and to take him in. Savannah, what can you think of?
He made a blind person see again.
Someone who'd been blind from birth, Jesus gave him sight for the first time. Danila?
He raised a 12-year-old girl named
He raised Jairus' daughter. Absolutely right. So we're beginning to see he did these amazing miracles. Even when he was being captured, he restored the ear and he raised a blind man. Yeah, what else did Jesus do? Can you remember? Hold on, don't get too close. What did he do? What else did he do?
He disobeyed.
Her brother is helping. Just speak to me ordinarily. Just speak normally to me. You don't have to lean too much to the microphone.
He died on the cross. Then
what happened? He died on the cross and then he rose again. Absolutely. That is a terrific miracle. That's a great miracle that God did. And we're going to think about that especially today. So we've got things that Jesus went around doing good and healing people, and again, when he found people who were held captive by the devil, he healed them and restored them. And so, in all sorts of ways, Jesus did good. Now, from the passage, back again to the passage, what did the Jewish authorities do about Jesus? Did they say, "Great, you're fantastic"? What did the Jewish authorities do about Jesus? From the passage, what did the Jewish authorities do about Jesus? You'll come back for a moment. Let's go to Roz.
Well,
put him to death.
They put him to death. They put him to death by hanging him on the tree. Absolutely right. So, the second thing that we can say from the passage about Jesus is that they, the Jewish authorities, killed him. They put him to death by hanging him on the tree. What happened then? And we've already been reminded of it. What happened then? Oh, sorry, Rose, you missed out on an orange, didn't you? My goodness. Or did I give you an orange? I can't. What happened then? What did God do? God raised him. Very good. Would you like an easy peeler? Okay. So God raised him. And that is something that we celebrate and remember particularly today. And what was Peter's role in all of this? According to the passage, what is Peter's role, especially in this? Eyes in the Bible. What is Peter's role in all of this?
He was the speaker,
yes. What was the word he used? He's the speaker. He's a witness. Well done, Wyn. Wyn the witness does not want an orange, so that's all right. So, okay. So, they are witnesses. And witnesses are just, we think of witnesses going to court. For example, what did you see? And because it's really important that the court can know what it is. So, we are witnesses. That's what Peter said. And it was the people, who were the particular people who were witnesses of Jesus? What did it say, again, what does it say in the passage? What does it say in the passage? Mira, what does it say in the passage? I haven't got your Bible open yet. What does it say in the passage? Someone who, go for it, Alcina, what does it say in the passage? Who were the people who were witnesses?
The apostles.
The apostles, yes. The special people who ate and drank with him. Remember that he came into the upper room and he said, "My peace I give to you." And Thomas said, "I don't believe it." And then the second time he came in, he said, "Touch my hands. Look at my side where the sword went in. I really am raised from the dead." And that is the thing that is absolutely at the heart of the Christian faith. And so Peter is saying, this is the thing that is at the heart, and he has come. Okay. And then what else does it go on to say about the Lord Jesus? Remember, he's talking to people who are not Jewish. They're looking for God. That's what we know about Cornelius. He was what they call a God-fearer, but he wasn't Jewish. And he'd been praying to God, and God had sent Peter to him to be able to explain the gospel. What does Peter go on to say that Jesus is going to do in the future? From the passage, what is Jesus going to do in the future? Yeah, have you found it?
He will give you a message.
A bit further down. What's the Lord going to do? He is the Lord of all, absolutely right. But what's he actively going to do, Veronica? Yes, he does that. But what's the next thing? According to Peter, what's the next thing that he's going to do? But what is Jesus going to do? What is Jesus going to do in the future? Yep. He's going to come back from the dead, absolutely. He's raised from the dead. And what is he going to do in the future? From the passage. Danila, you've already had your orange. You haven't eaten the first one yet.
Okay, I'll leave it.
Yeah, okay. What is he going to do in the future? Ros, he's going to send down the Holy. But what's he going to do in the future? What's he going to do? Look in the Bible. What's he going to do? Rachel. He's going to be the judge. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? You're quite happy to say the Holy Spirit's going to be given. Quite happy to say lots of good things are going to happen. But I don't actually want to say Jesus is going to. But there it is. And it's part of the essentials of what Peter is saying to these Gentile believers, that
Jesus is going to be the judge. He's going to judge the living and the dead. And then what does it say about that judgment? You've got where are we? Verse 42, Jesus commanded us to preach to the people and to testify, that means again, bear witness, that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. And then what do the prophets, that means the people in the Old Testament who'd written down messages from God for the people of God in the Old Testament, what do they say about Jesus? In verse 43, what do they say about Jesus, the prophets? Brilliant. I've got a you haven't got a label on, so I don't know who you are. Which one of you was it who was? Okay, what do you say it again so everybody can hear it? You're in 10 verse 43. I think you're on the wrong page. There you go.
All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Brilliant. Okay.
Thank you.
So let's again look at that. Verse 43. All the prophets are saying everyone, but it's everyone who believes. Not everybody in the entire world. We're all of us going to face judgment, the living and the dead. But everyone who believes in his name receives forgiveness of sins. And of course, Christians understand that that happened because our sin deserves punishment. Every time we say, stuff it, God, I'm going to run my life my way, that's sin. That's all that sin is. It's about saying, I'm going to decide what I think is right and wrong. I vaguely know what you said in the Bible, but I'm going to do my thing. The Bible was written a long time ago. All of that, so it's rebellion against God when we do that. And all of us have lived like that. God said, for instance, bless your neighbors. And sometimes our neighbors repay and we actually end up cursing them, particularly if they're horrible to us. God said, love everybody, love your neighbor as yourself. And we don't do that. God said, don't steal. God said, tell the truth. All sorts of things we've done where we know we've rebelled against what God says and done our own thing. And that's all that the Bible means about sin. You know that little word sin? What's the letter in the middle of the word sin?
I.
That is actually the heart of the problem. I in the center. I in the middle. I'm the one who's in charge. That's what sin is about. And if we face God, face Jesus, and we've never repented and never believed in him, then we carry the punishment for our own sin. And the punishment for sin is separation from God. And that's the last thing that God wants, because he made us for a relationship with him. And so what he's done for rebellious, sinful human beings is that he's given the Lord Jesus to take that punishment of separation and death, which he did by dying on the cross. And then he's confirmed that actually that is accepted, that offer by the Lord Jesus has been accepted because he raised Jesus from death. Jesus has given, now gives new life to all who believe. They receive forgiveness of sins. And the final part is through his name. Everyone who believes receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That is the heart of what the Christian faith is about. When Peter had to summarize it, and then Luke was making, who was writing this story, was making just the simplest account that he could of everything that Peter said. Those were the essentials. Jesus did good. They killed him, the authorities in the Jewish authorities. God raised him, that we remember particularly on Easter Day. And Peter and the other apostles are witnesses of what God had done. And those are the things that Jesus did. And then this is the future. Jesus will judge. But everyone who believes receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And so the big question for today, and you'll remember that what happened to Cornelius and the others, is that the Holy Spirit came on them in power in a way that we don't fully understand, but it seems that they said that they started to speak in tongues and do other things in the power of the Spirit, basically glorifying God. And all the circumcised believers, that means all the people who were Jewish before they became Christians, they were going, ugh, the Holy Spirit has come on them. So God is accepting them, just as he has accepted us. And so they were able to say, everyone who believes receives forgiveness of sins through his name. But it's everyone who believes. And that's why we have baptism, because the response there that Cornelius and the others, they had water baptism because God had already accepted them. He'd poured out the Holy Spirit evidently on them. And so they say, of course, water baptism, because water baptism, which we're going to celebrate in just a moment, is about people saying, I believe today in Jesus. I believe that he did do good. He healed people. He preached about the kingdom of God. All the stuff that we read in the Gospels. I believe that he is God made human being. I believe that the Jewish authorities hated him so much that they killed him. But actually that was all part of God's purpose, because he was the perfect man taking the punishment that sinful people deserve. And therefore, when we trust in him, he graciously says, I'll do a swap with you. I'll give you my righteousness in exchange for your sinfulness. And that transaction happened on the cross, if we believe it. It's for everyone, but each individual has to believe for themselves. And when they believe for themselves, God takes them on. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And water baptism is the mark, the outward mark of someone saying, yes, I believe. And today what's going to happen is that Asenath is far too small to have any understanding of what's going on today. But because she's been born to Claddy, and Claddy believes and her family believe around her, then on the basis of Claddy's faith and others who are standing with her as godparents, who are saying, yes, we are believers, and we're going to raise Asenath to know this truth, then I'm happy to say, okay, let's include Asenath into the Christian family. Let's include her into St. Stephen's family. Let's include her into the worldwide Christian family. Because everybody who is a Christian, who believes, needs to be baptized with water as a mark of the fact that they have become to believe in Jesus and their sins have been washed away. And therefore, Asenath and every other person who's a true believer, when Asenath grows up and comes with her own mouth to say, yes, I believe, when she comes, when she dies and she comes to meet the Lord Jesus, or when the Lord Jesus returns, if she's still alive when the Lord Jesus comes back, he's going to come to judge. He's going to come to divide the living and the dead. Everybody's going to stand before him, the people who've already died and the people who haven't. And the big question is really going to be, were you a believer? Were you a believer and then did you live it out? Did you trust me? The rest of the world looks what happens. They killed him. But the witnesses and the Christians, they believe him. And they go forward. And it's a choice to be made. And Claddy and the godparents are saying, yeah, that is the choice we have made. And many of us in this church are saying, that is the choice that we have made. But some are saying, well, I didn't realize there was a choice to be made, or I'm not ready to make it. Well, you're in exactly the right place on Easter Sunday morning to have the chance of being able to think about these things. Do I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? It was worth checking out. That's what Christians have believed for 2,000 years. But check it out. If you're doubt, because basically people don't come back to life. That's the whole point. So we need to check it out and say, why is it that Christians believe that? Can I rely on it? But if it's true, then it really matters. Because suddenly it's beginning to say, therefore, God is true. Something that we cannot explain in human terms. And he has said, this is how I want human beings to live. I don't want them to live rejecting me. I want them to live my way, submission to me. And the world will be better if we all did that. It really matters what we believe and how we behave. Let's just read together these last headings here. It comes in the Bible, starting with, everyone who believes receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Father, we thank you so much for that great truth that everyone who believes receives forgiveness of sins through Jesus' name. Thank you that you loved the world enough that you gave the Lord Jesus so that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, be separated from you forever, but should have life in the age to come, should have eternal life, should have life in all its fullness now. And Father, we pray that every person in church this morning, we would all be those who believe and know as a result that we have forgiveness only to be found in Jesus, not in any other way, but certainly and absolutely in Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.